This is Narissa.
Hey, this is Emma.
And you're listening to Overdue Conversations.
Woo!
We're going to be having ChatGPT roast books that we've both read. Mm-hmm. Emma has an extra one for us at the end that she thinks is really funny. But first, we wanted to let you know what we're currently reading.
You want me to go first?
Go for it.
Okay, so I am reading Rose in Chains by Julie Soto. This is a new release, and I got the special edition hardcover, and I love it. This book is also going to be our August book club book.
Mm-hmm.
So go out and buy it, read it, and then tune in at the end of August
mm-hmm.
for our book club talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll probably post the episode August 29th. So you've got almost a month to read it.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm currently reading Mockingjay. I finished Hunger Games and Catching Fire, and so now I'm on the third one. I'm debating if I should go forward with The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes because I've never read it, but I watched the movie. But I'm not loving Mockingjay. I loved Hunger Games. Catching Fire was good. Honestly, the games lasted like 70 pages. Maybe like 100.
That was like Sunrise on the Reaping.
I know. I'm like, wait, I don't remember it like this. I don't remember it happening like this. But honestly, if I think about it, I think the movies really did well with the books. There's a couple things I remember, like the Mockingjay pin.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I think the movies did really good because I'm like envisioning them whenever I'm reading.
Yeah.
And they're like pretty perfect.
Oh, cool.
But maybe I need to rewatch them before I say that.
I need to do a reread, but yeah. I'll do that later in the year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one was so good because it's the foundation for everything. And then Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is going to be good because it's like the actual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunrise on the Reaping because it's in the middle. It's going to be so exciting. But yeah, so did you want to go first with our first roast?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, the first book I picked was Binding 13 by Chloe Walsh. I just typed in on ChatGPT, like, roast Binding 13 by Chloe Walsh,
mm-hmm.
and this is what popped up.
Mm-hmm.
Over 600 pages of Johnny brooding about how his hidden rugby injury will ruin his life, then repeating it again chapter after chapter. Mm-hmm. It's like watching a scratch CD on loop.
Mm-hmm.
I did feel like that was kind of the first book.
Yes.
Like, he's like, I'm injured, but I'm not going to do anything to, like, help myself.
Mm-hmm. That's why I couldn't get through it. I stopped at chapter 11.
Yeah, but you stopped because of other stuff, right?
Yeah, because of that injury. He kept talking about that injury.
Oh, yeah.
The injury is inappropriate. And I was, like, listening to it on Audible, so I couldn't know when something inappropriate was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I think reading it physically would have been better. I could just skip all of that.
Yeah.
But I was like, bruh, can we talk about something else? Like, they said that he's like the character development and that he's so mature. And I was like, currently super immature.
He is pretty mature, I will say. Like, besides like his like language, he is pretty mature considering what happens to like Shannon
mm-hmm.
and stuff he goes through as well. I would say he handled it pretty well for a 17-year-old.
I did not meet that side of Johnny Cavanaugh, and I do not know if I ever will.
Ah, I love Johnny.
I want to know where he ranks on all your book boyfriends.
Well, considering he's like 17, 18,
yeah,
and not men yeah. I've read in other books, I would say lower.
Okay.
But I still love him. And I cannot wait to read Saving Sex.
Mm. Is that the third one?
Yes. It's okay. About her brother. I forget his name.
Mm. Sad.
But I'm so excited to read it.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yes.
All right. Our second roast is A Court of Thorns and Roses. Okay, it says, where every male has a six-pack, every female is not like other girls, and trauma is just foreplay.
Seriously.
It says, Feyre starts off painting like a moody Pinterest board, then somehow turns into a magical warrior queen without ever finishing a proper training montage. Homegirl can't read at the start of the series, but somehow becomes the savior of the realms, a master painter whose paintings is literally described like colors that represent feelings, and the High Lady of Being Insufferable. She's a strong female lead written by someone who thinks female empowerment means snapping at men, which just, oh, sorry, while describing dresses for six pages straight. Character development? Nah, just give her wings, trauma, and a hot guy. And don't even get me started on Rhysand, the dark, brooding, ultra-powerful male with a tragic past who somehow manages to make feminism sound like a pickup line. And can we talk about the phrase mate? If I had a dollar for every time someone growled, my mate, I'd be rich enough to buy Valaris.
Or when she uses like watery bowels. Literally, I'm like, ew, stop. Stop, Sarah.
Like, that's so embarrassing if that actually happened in real life.
I know.
Ugh.
Hey, but don't talk about Reese like that, you know? He's...
Yeah, he's perfect.
He's perfect.
Okay, but also they're all like 17-year-olds trapped in their 17-year-old body, but they're 500 years old.
Yeah, that's true.
It says, the plot twist, half of them Sarah J. Maas just woke up at 3 a.m. and thought, you know what the story needs? More wings. Beauty and the Beast meets Twilight meets Wattpad fantasy fanfic. Someone dumps glitter, trauma, and a thesaurus on top and hits puree.
ChatGPT's mean.
This is the inner circle. It's giving cult. A bunch of 500-year-old fae sitting around trauma dumping and flirting like teenagers with too much power and zero therapy.
Rude.
Cassian and Azrael have one brain cell between them and it's shaped like a bicep.
Oh, that's so mean. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to do Red Rising. And Red Rising... Nerissa and I both didn't love.
Mm-hmm.
So, this says, Darrow is introduced as the ultimate underdog, yet somehow he breezes through every test, even though it's supposed to be lethal. Mm-hmm. Where is the fear of the stakes? He's more robot than revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. It's kind of like he's supposed to be this, like, underdog.
Mm-hmm.
But... he's not really an underdog.
Mm-mm.
Because they make him into a gold.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know.
He is science fiction Captain America.
Yeah.
And what I really couldn't get into is his own wife called him a coward. And, like, so that just kind of defined him for me. Like... I don't know. Yeah. I just could not get over the fact that he was a coward and all they did was change his body and his abilities. And now he's this, like, he had to completely change physically before he accomplished anything.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I was just stuck with the fact that, like, no, you're a coward. Originally, you're a coward, you know?
Yeah, this says, Darrow's arc is basically... I'm a misunderstood genius with daddy issues, and I'm going to solve every problem by punching someone in the face or making a power move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely a boy book.
Yeah, it's a bro book, for sure.
Yeah. It would be good movies.
I agree. I couldn't... Pierce Brown's writing is not for me, personally. Mm. I love the concept of the book. Like, I love...
Mm.
The book itself.
Yeah, like the Society Tears.
Yes. But the writing, it was just very, very hard to read. And there's so much... There is a lot of world building and, like...
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Different lingo.
Mm-hmm.
That I would love a glossary. Yeah. I think that would have helped a lot, having a glossary of, like, the different people and then maybe just different lingo words. Because
mm-hmm.
I know a book I just read recently had a glossary.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, Binding 13 and Keeping 13, like, they have glossaries, like, of Irish lingo and, like, what it means.
Cool.
And it tells you how to pronounce different names in the book, which I loved because I'm like, oh, I can go back. If I don't know this word, I can, like, oh, what does it mean? Oh, it means this. Okay.
Cool. Yeah, that would have been good because it is... They speak English, but it is, they have their own
Like
language in their
dialogue.
society.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. And then, like, different parts, like gold say gory, the other ones
Say
red say
bloody.
bloody.
Yeah. Which, I'm like, that's easy to pick up on.
Yeah.
But some of the just other things, I'm like, why do y'all talk like that? I don't even know what's going on, really. And it was just really hard.
And there was lots of like your mom jokes or like sex jokes and stuff. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
It's like abrasive. I don't know. But I think without that stuff, it would be good.
Yeah,
It
I understand
definitely.
why. I understand why people like it. I wish I was someone who did like love it, but sadly I'm not, and
Yeah.
that's okay.
I'm wondering if like the last three or four books would make us like it, but that's just too big of an investment and commitment to the series. I finished the first three, and you can finish at Morningstar with like a happy, pretty bow. So I'm like, what happens in the fourth one? I guess like a new villain comes in. But yeah, the third one was good. Everyone calls the book That Heals You, and I would say that's pretty accurate because
Okay.
like things are tied up. Bad things happen, but things are tied up too.
Yeah, I need to finish it. I need to read Morningstar. But then I'll probably end the series there.
I think I'm done. But a lot of people say Lightbringer is like one of their favorites. I think that's like number five.
Yeah, but the book's huge.
Yeah.
And
I don't think
I
I
don't
could
know
do
if
it.
I can get through it.
No.
'Cause it takes me like a week and a half to finish the books because I just don't want to pick them up.
That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah, I did Audible, so that was easier.
Yeah.
And the voices were cool, the narrator. But it's one narrator for all of the voices, even the women. So that's really hard. I'm like, wait, who are we talking to right now? I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love Severo. Like, he carries the book for me. I'm obsessed with him. Does he die?
I can't say
Oh my
anything.
gosh, does he die? Please tell me he doesn't die. I love him. Is he actually bad?
I'm not saying
Oh, now I
anything.
have to read it. He's one of
Yes,
my
you do.
faves. Honestly, I'll read the book just because of him.
Okay, then you should. All right, my next one. So my job was to do an Emily Henry book. But just in case ChatGPT wasn't funny enough, I did Book Lovers and Happy Place. So hopefully these are funny. Ready?
Which one are you going to do first?
Book Lovers.
Okay.
You ready? It says, yes, Book Lovers, the novel that screams enemies to lovers, but make it emotionally mature with a side of literary trauma bonding. Nora is out here like, I'm a shark in publishing, no feelings allowed. And then Charlie shows up being the only man who can out-edit me and also look hot while doing it. The whole plot is basically, one, go to small town, two, pretend you're there for your sister, but actually have multiple breakdowns about your career and love life, three, fall for the grumpy hot editor who roasts you back. Meanwhile, every reader is sitting there swooning, thinking, this is so me, even though the closest they come to editing is fixing a typo in their Goodreads review.
That's funny. I definitely didn't think it was, oh, this is so me.
No.
Because I'm not a. I mean, all of Emily Henry's characters, they all relate to writing somehow.
Yeah. And I think I'm a person that usually relates to like side characters.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, the best friend, I'm like, that's me. That's
Yeah.
who I am, not the
Yeah.
main character.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to saying how every Emily Henry book ends up being therapy disguised as a rom-com. You pick it up thinking it's a fun beach read and end up crying about grief, regret, ambition, and how no man will ever banter with you like Charlie Lastra.
Ah, that's funny.
It's so funny that it said grief and regret because The Great Big Beautiful Life is a heavier book, like more sad. And I was like, that's so true. I thought this was going to be like a good Emily Henry, make you feel good, happy romance. And then half the book you're crying.
Oh, I do love a trauma book, but like,
You okay?
maybe because, okay, so personally, I have never like been through anything very like traumatic. I haven't like lost someone super close to me. And I've just been very blessed and haven't gone through stuff. And so I kind of do I really enjoy reading. That's why I think I loved Finding 13 so much. Like, it's so sad. But yeah, I don't know. I like trauma and like dark topics like that kind of stuff. So
That's funny. You should read the names.
I should.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's dark.
Okay. I hear Rose and Chains is kind of like dark.
Like heavy.
Yeah, because it talks about I'm pretty sure she's like sold into like kind of like trafficking.
Oh, that's terrible.
There's like trigger warnings in there.
Oh gosh. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, my life is just trauma, so
I'm sorry.
it's okay. Oh, that's so funny. Okay. Should I do Happy Place?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, it says Happy Place really said, let's watch two exes pretend to still be engaged for a week so their friends don't get upset because honesty is illegal in this universe. Harriet is out here like, I can't handle confrontation, so I'll fake an entire relationship. While Wynne is, I'm hot, emotionally repressed, and silently yearning from across the room. This book is just mutual pining with an expiration date, cooking breakfast sadly together, staring at each other with tears in their eyes while everyone else sips wine obliviously. I was like, dang, that's so true. Like, their lives are falling apart, and their friends have not noticed for like months. Like, how do they not notice?
Yeah, but then also like there's stuff with the friends too. There's drama with the friends. I
Yeah.
forget that was like one of I think that was my second book, my second Emily Henry book I've ever read. So I don't remember it that well. But like their friends went through stuff too, like the ones that get married at the end, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the house is going for sale.
Yeah. There's that, and then like I think they're trying to have the wedding there.
Yeah. I did like that one because it was about like friendship
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
how.
The memories and like the place like holds so much meaning.
I mean, that's kind of like Hilton Head for like me. Like, we used to vacation there almost every year growing up. And I haven't been back in forever since senior year of high school. And I want to go back.
We should go. I haven't wanted to go.
I
Haven't been.
love. I literally have a tattoo of the lighthouse from Hilton Head. So,
We've been, or I've been to the Carolinas, but I never got to see anything because I was on soccer trips,
oh
so.
yeah. Well, Hilton Head's like the shoe island. I love it. Oh, I want to go back. It's like so like slow paced. And people like ride their bikes. It's like old people. It's like an
Yeah,
old people community.
I love that. That's how I was on 30A in Seaside,
Oh,
Florida.
I want to go there.
Yeah, it's nice. It's
Really?
gorgeous. It's my favorite place ever.
Really? Okay, I want to go.
And then they have a cute bookstore.
Really?
Yeah, we should go.
Okay. When?
I rode my bikes literally everywhere when I was there for a whole week. It was honestly the best vacation I've ever had.
When'd you
Even
go?
the 2019, summer of
Okay.
2019. So what is that, 6 years ago?
That was like when you graduated high school.
Yep.
So
Yep.
fun.
Even the people I went with were terrible and seriously still my favorite place, which I'm like, how am I able to disassociate? But I am, and this is great.
I want to go. I've seen like pictures, of people that go, and it looks so cute.
It is. It's perfect. The rest of the chat GPT said their friends are so self-absorbed they wouldn't notice if Harriet and Wynne killed each other in kitchen as long as brunch was served on time.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Because they had that whole schedule. I was like,
I
oh my
know.
gosh.
That was funny.
It's like, shut up. Just let me live my life. Okay, you're next.
Okay, Powerless by Lauren Roberts.
I can't wait for this.
Okay, I have to go back and forth. So the first one says, Powerless isn't a book. It's a checklist of book talk bait. Hot print, sassy girl, death games, dramatic one-liners, vague magic, and a cover that screams, "This will look great in your hashtag bookshelf goals reel."
Oh, that's funny.
Powerless reads like a fanfic mashup of The Hunger Games, Red Queen, The Selection, and Throne of Glass, all remixed without much thought. It's as if the author said, let's just lift every YA trope and publish it. Which I disagree. I love Powerless. It is top three favorite series of all time. So I disagree with ChatGPT.
I love it, and it is one of my favorites, but I agree.
No.
Just gotta be honest. You gotta be real.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But I love ChatGPT.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But don't roast Lauren like that, or Powerless, or Kai, or Peyton. They're my faves.
Yeah.
They're my baby. They're my Shaylas.
All right. I have Divine Rivals by Rebecca Ross. It is a fantasy. I feel like not a lot of people have read it. I think it's like picking up traction.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I thought we were late to the game.
Really? Let me look. Let me see like how many, what do you call it, ratings it has. Okay, we are late to the game. They have 672,000. Did I say that? 672,000 ratings so far. So,
yeah. Dang.
Yeah, we were late to the game. Never mind, people. Anyways, so maybe you've read this book, but it is a fantasy. Romantasy, really. Okay, it says, Divine Rivals is like someone took a Pinterest board labeled Aesthetic War Journalism, Enemies to Lovers Fantasy, and said, what if we did all of it, but forgot to proofread the vibes? The plot tries so hard to be profound, but ends up feeling like a sepia-filtered love letter to every trope we've already read 1,000 times. Iris is out here writing typewriter letters to a literal god of war, like she's cosplaying Hemingway fanfiction, and Roman is a classic brooding privileged boy who somehow becomes a better person just by having feelings for the main girl. The romance is basically, I hate you. Wait, you're hot and damaged? Never mind. And the war backdrop feels like it's there purely to make the smooching more dramatic. Honestly, this book is Starbucks Enemies to Lovers fantasy latte. Tastes fine, and then you'll forget you drank it 5 minutes later.
Oh my gosh, I liked it.
It was okay for me. Like, the whole thing, probably 3 stars. Yeah. The first book was really good. The second book, I feel like, flopped.
Yeah, I think the first book was better, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, just, they missed something in the second one.
I don't really remember it.
Did we read it back to back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, if you don't remember it, that means it didn't really hit hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so Throne of Glass. We're told constantly that Selena is the deadliest assassin in the kingdom. But here's what we see. She giggles over ball gowns. She complains when she has to wake up early. She flirts with everyone like a bored influencer at Coachella. This girl's body count is supposedly in the hundreds, but the only murder she actually commits is slaughtering Logic every time she opens her mouth.
That's crazy. Do you agree?
No, because she actually is a bad A. And I love her. So, like, I want to be her when I grow up.
That's so funny.
But, yeah.
How do you spell her name?
Let me see. It's like C-E-L-A-E-N-A.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Selena.
Cute.
That's how I say it, Selena.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my favorite series.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite fantasy series.
And does it stick with her the whole series? Or does it kind of switch like Akatar?
It stays with her.
Okay.
But you get more POVs as the series continues.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. She's always a POV.
Yeah. Okay.
Love her.
I can't wait to read it, but I'm also so intimidated.
Are you going to read Assassin's Blade first? Or are you going to read it third?
What did you do?
I read it first.
And it's like back in time, right?
It's the start
of it all.
It's the prequel.
Okay, then I think I'll read it first.
Good. I loved reading it first. I felt like I understood what was going on in Throne of Glass. People say that if you read it third, something that happens in Assassin's Blade like hits different. But I think it's just... it's your preference. Like, I don't think it ruins. You can't. It's not. There's not a wrong way to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I read it first because I'm like, oh, it's a prequel. But people will read it in publication order as well.
Why did Sarah J. Maas do that? Do you know?
I don't know. It's kind of like, I guess to give it like a backstory. Because usually authors don't release a prequel first.
Yeah, true.
So.
Okay, that makes sense.
Kind of like Hunger Games.
Yeah. I think that was planned.
I think that was planned too.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I'm intimidated. 8 books and they're like 600 pages or more.
Not all of them.
I know.
Kingdom of Ash is like 900.
Oh my word.
It's so good though. Oh my gosh.
Bruh, does it end happy?
Depends on what you think is happy.
Oh man. Oh gosh, so intimidating. Is it better than ACOTAR?
Yeah. Okay. 100%.
I'm so nervous.
A lot of people think, there are people that think ACOTAR's better. I think it's just a preference of like romance wise, because there's not as much romance in Throne of Glass. It's very like plot driven. When I think ACOTAR is more romance driven.
I could probably have a happy medium of like the two books together. Like I feel like ACOTAR was too much romance, but then if there's not a lot in the
The romance will keep you going.
Yeah.
There's romance, but it's not solely romance like ACOTAR is.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I don't know when I'll get to it. I don't know.
Hopefully soon.
We'll see. I can't. Oh my gosh. I don't think I have like 4 series I need to get through.
Yeah, girl.
I feel overwhelmed.
Because you bought them all. That's why.
Yeah, probably. That is why. Okay. Well, thanks for tuning in to this episode.
We hope that ChatGPT was funny enough.
Yeah. Hope you laughed today. And if you've read the books, you'll probably laugh even harder. Okay. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. And bye.
Bye.